This morning, we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. We're just going to read one verse, and I'm just going to teach. Sunday school is for teaching, right? And now I am a preacher, so if I preach a little bit, I can't help it. It's like measles. It just breaks out on you. But 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, I'm going to teach some things this morning, hopefully some practical things for you, just some practical ways that you can help your missionaries, some practical ways you can help your missionaries. And most of this will really deal with one main subject, and that's prayer. And so 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 25. It's a very short verse. And here we find this verse under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God written by, guess what, a missionary, the Apostle Paul. And here's what he says. Brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. And I believe it's an important part. And of course, this church emphasizes prayer, and you've been emphasizing it. And I have the booklet, by the way, of what was going on during the year and the challenges. I have that booklet. And boy, it's good. It's good. And I want to say something about when I give all this, I am not an expert in this area. Every time I look at prayer, I think, man, that's an area that I need improvement in all the time, all the time. And I think everybody can improve in prayer. And so the fact is that the Apostle Paul was saying, if I could get anything from this church at Thessalonica, can I get you just to pray for me? Can I get you to pray for me? And because some of them are not going to be able to go where the Apostle Paul goes, but they can still yoke up with him in prayer. And it's such a vital part of our Christian life. In Acts chapter 16 and verse number 9, here's what the Bible says. It says, there's a vision that appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, asked him, said, come over into Macedonia and help us. So you know what? There were some people praying, and I'm going to use that verse maybe a little bit later. Some people praying that Paul would come over and help. You know what he needed? He needed prayer to get there. Prayer to get there. Romans chapter 12 says this. Listen to this. Verses 10 through 12. It says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brother love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Instant in prayer. And of course, we know Ephesians, it tells us praying always with all prayer and supplication, right? For all saints. Now, why would it say that? It's part of our spiritual warfare. And I'm going to show you something this morning. I'm going to read something here a little bit later on that hopefully will help you to understand why that is so important. But let me give you these practical things. Preacher, what time were you usually done? 25 after. Okay, great. I know things are on a clock. Now, at my church, the clock is whatever I do, but here things run a little bit differently, and so we'll be done on time because there's a lot of moving parts here. So let me give you these points, okay? And young people, if you'll get this and you'll start these things early, listen, you'll have a heart for missionaries like you can't imagine. I believe that. So number one, this morning, pray for future missionaries. Pray for future missionaries. In Matthew chapter number 9 and verse 37, 38, of course, Jesus is speaking. He says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few, right? Well, how do we fix that? Well, we can beg people. And, you know, I've tried that, preacher. I've tried that. And we don't try and lay a guilt trip on. But, you know, there's videos and you show the need. And might not affect my heart. Of course, that's true. But you know where it really gets done is prayer. And that's what the Lord said. He said, listen, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he might send forth laborers. Did you know I cannot send somebody? I think it comes underneath the authority of the church according to the book of Acts. But the fact is before that took place, where Paul and Barnabas went out, the Holy Spirit of God already had touched on the hearts of Paul and Barnabas to go. And then the church got together. Guess what they were doing? They were working and they were praying. And God said, hey, listen, send them out. That I've got a work whereunto I have called them. And there is a need of the future to take place. And so we pray for future missionaries. So Jesus commanded us to pray for laborers for the harvest. I have thought, as far as our ministry is concerned, I thought sometimes, man, we just need this, and we need this, and we need this. And I thought, well, I could ask this person, and I think I could ask people. And then I thought about some more, and the Holy Spirit of God said, why don't you just get on your knees and pray? And I just might send you what you need. And I found that he does that. Pray for laborers, for future missionaries. Now, young people, when you're praying this, it might be that God makes you that future missionary. Amen. But we should pray that God would prepare people already within our own congregations, in other congregations, to go to the mission field. You never know how many people from this church, will go out onto a mission field. Now, you have several, this church has several people out in ministry in different areas. Most of those are in the United States. But what about the other places? Now, I believe the United States has got some needs, but do you know we're only one little spot on the dot of the globe, really? And there's a lot of places to go. And I want to give you some things, just a thought. You might take, as far as practical things, you might take a map, get a map in your house or something like that, and you put that map up somewhere, and you just say, you know what, I'm going to go through and I'm going to pray for this country today concerning laborers. They need laborers. You might not even know all the statistics. I'd encourage you to look up statistics and see what the population of the country is. See what the percentage of that is Christian and what percentage of that is. And by the way, the Christian is a broad term today. You know, there's countries that are 99% Islam. We say, well, you know, they're against us, and they hate Christians. Yeah, but don't they need the gospel?
Yes.
And where it's dark like that, doesn't the light shine brightest? And they need all that, but pray for them. And so get those. In fact, there's a ministry called Wings Bearing Precious Seed. It's based out of Kentucky. And you can get from them, you can get a map from them. And they on that map, there's a schedule that you can follow to pray through all these countries and pray for laborers. I'm just giving you an idea on that. It may be that you walk through your missions hall there, and in each of those places where those people are at, you're praying not only for that missionary, but you're praying for laborers in the area and where they're at. And I'll show you why that's so important. So number one, we pray for future missionaries. Listen, the fact is this. There is a fact, 100%. Okay, you ready? Unless the rapture happens, we're all going to die. That means those, and I hate to be Debbie Downer, but the fact is there's missionaries on the field that will one day pass on from here into heaven. But somebody's got to be where they're at. And so how's that going to take place? Well, we got to pray for it. Pray for our future missionaries. Now, number two, pray for then your present missionaries. And now at our church, what we've done practically speaking, and we don't have as many missionaries as you all do. We have 30 missionaries that we support and looking for hopefully two more to pick up this year. And we took for our church and we put all our missionaries on a laminated piece of paper like this. And it has their names, their field, their kids' names, all of that is on there. And we gave it to them. And you can stick it in their Bible. They can stick it on a refrigerator or some spot. And they can just walk through this list and they can begin to pray. And then on the back, I just gave them something very similar to what I'm giving you this morning. But I said, pray for future missionaries. Pray for our present missionaries. Pray for the wife and children and pray for their specific needs, a hedge of protection. I'm going to go through all of those this morning. Pray for lost souls to be converted and then encourage them to communicate with their missionary. And you can do that as a family. I'm just practical tips. As a family, here's what we do with all our missionaries and some missionaries that we actually don't support, but we know them. Here's what we do. We have all their prayer cards, and at our mealtime, what we do is we have a Bible verse that we will pull out our daily bread, and we'll read the Bible verse and try and guess the reference. And we do that first, and I wish I could say I was the best at that, but I'm not. And I know the verse, but sometimes the reference. And then we have the prayer card, and we pray for a missionary at every meal, a different one. And so, and you can rotate. Now, think about that, three meals a day. Some of you eat probably four or five. And so listen, you can pray through a lot of missionaries in one day and just pray. And as you pray for them, you see their face. You have their children's names, their face, and all those types of things. And as you're praying for them, it's not just, okay, bless our missionaries. Right. It's very specific. You see all those things. And hey, let's pray for our present missionaries. Pray for our present missionaries. Now, here's what you need to pray while you're praying for them. You ready? Number one, pray for them to have spiritual oneness with the Lord. And I put that as number one because this is the high priestly prayer of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for all the future converts. Listen to what he says. In fact, take your Bibles and go to John chapter 17. I want you to look at it with me. This is Sunday school. John chapter number 17. And this is what our Lord prays for all of those that would be saved in the future. John chapter number 17. And when he begins to pray, we'll pick up in verse number 20. And pardon me, I picked up a cough the last time I was here. So I don't know what you all gave me, but it hasn't gone away yet. So forgive me if I cough a little bit, or if it seems like I'm just trying to catch my breath. In verse number 20, it says, "Neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Well, what is he praying? Verse 21, "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Now, the whole idea of the oneness there is the idea of taking on the identity of our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how the world identifies us as Christians. We can't be Christians if we don't act like the Savior. And I say Christian, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about our identification. Salvation, listen, somebody can be saved, but they're not much of a Christian as far as the sense of being a little Christ or a mimic of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all agree with that? Yep. And so lots of people are saved, but they don't act much like Jesus. But one of the identifying marks is our oneness with God, oneness with Christ. And on the mission field, how important is it for them to be able to take on the image of the Lord while they're there on a field that doesn't know anything about Jesus? Their oneness with Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 6 and verse 63, it says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh." Watch this. "The flesh profiteth nothing." While they're on the mission field, there's all kinds of ideas that we have, and there's ways to do things. And by the way, if they're biblical, that's what we're supposed to do. Watch this. Did you know that you can do almost all the work that's out there as far as ministry is concerned and do that in the flesh? And the Bible says the flesh profiteth nothing. So like bus routes went out this morning from here. The bus route went out this morning from our church. And there's people teaching Sunday school right now here. A little bit in a couple hours, there's going to be people teaching Sunday school over in Butte, Montana. And there's going to be people preaching, all those type of things. And you could do all of that in the energy of the flesh, and the flesh profiteth nothing. So the reason I'm saying that is because if we pray that our missionaries have oneness with Christ, listen, then there's going to be profit in what they do. Amen. If they take on the identity of the Lord and they're walking in the Spirit and doing it in a spiritual manner according to the Scriptures, listen, then there's going to be profit in their labor. I think sometimes our missionaries, every once in a while, they get discouraged. Not just because people don't communicate with them or the work is hard, is because they're trying so hard to do the work without God. Amen. And it's frustrating. Yeah. Can I tell you that from experience? Yeah. Where I've had this idea and that idea and say, let's do this. And by the way, ideas are great, but it's good to have God in on it. Yes. It really is. It's just good to have God in on it. And the older I get, the more I realize my ideas, they may be okay, but man, I know this, that if God gets on it, doesn't matter what my idea is, he gets in on it, and there's a supernatural work that takes place. And that's what I want. And I think that's what our missionaries desire. Let me give you an example of that in the Scriptures. You don't need to turn there. But the Apostle Paul, concerning, he desired, he wanted to go to Asia. That's what he wanted. He wanted to go there. There's people that are lost there. By the way, you wonder where that Asia is. Asia is not where we think of our modern day Asia, like China and India, those types of areas. It was a part of the Mediterranean. It's where we get all of the seven churches out of the book of Revelation. Okay, it's right off the Mediterranean Sea. And he wanted to go there. By the way, he was going by there. But as he made plans to go. Listen to what it says, Acts 16 and verses 6 and 7. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Forbidden of the Holy Ghost. Right. Now how would you know the whole desire is to get the gospel out, isn't it? How would you know you're not supposed to go to Asia unless God tells you? And how do you know God's going to tell you unless you have a oneness with him?
Right.
And so what we want to do is we want to make sure, listen, there's needs everywhere. I heard one time a young lady, she was asking a missionary. And I'm not using her name, and I'm not going to use a missionary's name. She wanted to be in missions. She wanted to be a part of missions. And she had a heart for missions. And I heard her go up to missionary and say, how do I know where to go? As far as a mission field, it's a good question, isn't it? And I heard the missionary say this. He said, well, anywhere is a good place. Just go somewhere and do something for God. And I, right there, something in my mind said, wait a minute. If she does not go with the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, she'll go to a place and wreck herself. The devil will eat her up if she doesn't understand what God has for her. Just because the place has a need doesn't mean God wants you to go there. And that's what, by the way, the Apostle Paul was allowed to go into Asia later. But at this time, God said, no, that's not it. But that only comes through spiritual oneness. I say that because if we pray for our missionaries to be one with the Spirit of God and have a spiritual oneness with our Lord, then they'll have clear direction from God what to do and what not to do. And it'll lead to a lot less frustration and maybe potential burnout. The Bible says very clearly in the book of Romans, it says, they that mind the things of the flesh... The mind of the flesh. They do things after the flesh. The carnal mind is at enmity with God. It cannot know the will of God. And what we want our missionaries to do is know the mind of God, don't you think?
Right.
And so let's pray for spiritual oneness for them and that God would protect their hearts and minds that way. Number two, underneath that, is pray specifically for the wife and children of each missionary. Sometimes we just pray for our missionaries in general, but pray for the wife by name and their children by name. I'm looking in here. Of course, we got young people. We've got some older people, and some of the in-betweens are out somewhere else, right? And you got the little ones out there. Now, watch this. We pray for our kids. And when they need spiritual help, we beg God on their behalf. You know, the kids on a mission field, they need spiritual help too. You know, wives get discouraged here and wives get discouraged on a mission field too. And they need help. Do you know if the devil, watch this, if the devil cannot get to the man, he will try to go through the wife and children. Now watch. That started in Genesis. The devil did not go after Adam. For some reason, he looked at Adam and said, I can't touch him for whatever reason, but I think I can get her. And there's a lot of people off of a mission field today simply because the devil got it at his wife or the devil got at the children and upset that apple cart. And so pray. That's a team that's going out there. Listen, it's not just that man's ministry. They are a team going out there. So pray for them and pray for them specifically. Think about this for a moment. When they go there, when we have problems here right now, don't we? We have issues that we deal with each and every day. Now take that, just our normal everyday problems, and transfer that to a field where you don't know the culture, you don't really understand the language, and you're just trying to acclimate to all of those things as something that's completely new, and you are doing the work of God, getting the gospel ministry out, and the devil hates that already.
Right.
It's all compounded.
Right.
And I think of, I live in the mountain, I poke fun. If God wanted me to be in a flat place, I would go. In fact, there was a time where God in order to get my attention on some things, he used some circumstances, and I don't talk about this much, but I candidated at a church in Indiana, believe it or not. And I looked around and I thought, this is flat. And I said, dear Lord, I love the mountains, but watch. I said, Lord, I don't want to make mountains and I don't want to make my home state, even though I have a burden for it. I don't want it to make it an idol. And though I've been here and I spent a little bit, do you know it would be a little bit of a culture adjustment for me? I got news for you. Montana people think differently. So, you're coming. But they do. We just think differently. We have a very independent mind. You say, what does that mean? We're stubborn. And there's just certain things. I would have to make an adjustment of all of that. We have a dry climate. Okay? Where I'm at is considered mountain desert. You say, what is mountain desert? It means there's no water and a lot of sagebrush. That's what it means. And high mountains. That's what it means. I'm not used to the humidity. When I went to Bible college, I went to Bible college in Tennessee, but before I went to Bible college, I went to Georgia for a week. Can I say, listen, 106 degrees with 3,000% humidity is not for me. It's not for me. But watch, that would be an adjustment. If God put me there, I would go. But there's some adjustment that takes place with all of that. And our missionaries, that's what takes place a lot for a lot of them. They're completely out of their element while trying to do the work of God. So pray for the wife and pray for the children. Sometimes the kids are really young and it's an easier adjustment for them. And sometimes God will call a family out and the kids are a little bit older. And listen, everything, all their friends and everything that they've known disappears. Pray for them. Number three, pray for then the specific needs of each missionary. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2 says, Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Now here the Apostle Paul is asking specifically, pray for these things. We need help in these areas. Your missionary letters, and you have them read here, and they're back there, and they're posted. That's how they're communicating with the churches. And praise God. Listen, they didn't have all of that quite like we have today. I mean, the Apostle Paul obviously wrote letters, but can I say, he didn't press a button and poof, it was over there. That's not how it worked. And it took a little while, but they communicated. And those are updates of blessings, of course. And isn't it nice to hear the blessings? But also, it's requests. And in there, they have specific things. And occasionally, a missionary may even email an urgent need to supporting churches, something that's like right around the corner, something that just happened. And missionary families face emergencies just like you and I do. And we have prayer chains. And when an emergency takes place, we send it through a prayer chain. And what is that for? Let's pray right now, because this is needed right now. Let's get on our knees. And you have all experienced miracle after miracle through that, have you not? Well, our missionaries need the same thing, don't they? This is a missionary. So pray for those things specifically. And it doesn't take long. You don't have to spend hours on one little thing. But listen, God hears specific prayers of his people. He longs to hear the words of his saints. He longs to hear. And so pray for the specific needs. Go back there and read it. And I know many of you do, and they've been challenged. But read the letter and look at the need. And they might name a person that they're working with. So pray for that person. You say, I can't pronounce it. Say, dear Lord, I read this name right here, and I have no clue what it says. But you do. And they're asking for this person and whatever spiritual need they have, and pray for that. Give it immediate attention. Number four, underneath that, pray for a hedge of protection around all your missionaries. And I know I've kind of alluded to that, but watch this. Acts chapter 12 and verse number 5, Peter was in prison. Now, James had just had his head cut off. And Peter's in prison, and they're looking to do the same thing. It says, while he's kept in prison, it says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And guess what happened? A miracle. An angel of the Lord walked Peter out of there.
Amen.
I mean, Peter didn't even know it was an angel. He thought he was dreaming. Hey, I'm escaping prison. And then finally he gets out and the angel slaps him on the back head. Hey, dummy, this was for real. And he wakes up. And then what happens? Remember what happens in that story? He goes and knocks on the door. Woman comes up. And hears Peter's voice and does not open the door. How many of you think that's funny? She runs back in and tells him, and he's standing out on the outside like, wait a minute, guys, I don't want to go back where I just was. And let me in. But how did that happen? Hey, prayer took place within the church. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. We know those verses. Be sober, be vigilant. What? Why? Because our adversary, right? The devil, Satan. He's as a roaring lion. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour, right? And we say, resist him steadfast in the faith. Well, how do we do that? That's through prayer. By the way, the context of that is actually for preachers, for people in ministry. The context of those that the devil's really looking to devour. Now, he's looking to devour anybody he can, but he's especially looking to devour those that are involved heavily in the ministry that are at a weak point. And they all get weak. Listen, your preacher is going to get weak at points. Spiritually speaking, things will go on. He'll empty himself and he'll be working and moving and doing all kinds of things. And there's just a spiritual weakness that takes place. And just as a word of testimony about that, just get you thinking just a little bit. And we'll be done here just right on time. But I want you to hear this very carefully. The missionaries, your pastor, you know, on a Sunday, typically Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night preaching, and you say, well, it's just three times. Do you know how much spiritual warfare goes on while that's taking place? When Monday comes around, I'm drained, preacher. I spend all day. Now, where we're at, I teach Sunday school, preach Sunday morning. We have two nursing home services in the afternoon, preach both of those. And then I have Sunday evening service. And by the time I'm done, I am wiped out. And I'm not talking about physically wiped out, spiritually, just you've emptied everything you can possibly give because you're fighting for the souls of people. You know what's encouraging on Monday morning is when I get a text from somebody in my church says, hey, I'm praying for you today. Because I promise you, they have no clue how much I need that. And our missionaries need a hedge of protection because at that moment, the devil just might get in and say, I heard of Dr. Lee Robertson that every Sunday night he resigned. Every Sunday night. Because he just spent all week. And then Monday morning people praying for him and he re-upped. He re-enlisted every Monday. And he kept staying in the faith. But listen, I believe there's people praying for him, a hedge of protection around him, and kept him on what he was doing. And our missionaries need that. Now let me give you something. This is a text I received from one of our missionaries. I changed the names just for security reasons because of the location where things are going on. But this is a text that I was sent. And I'm going to read it to you. Ready? Here it goes. I'm greatly sickened and my heart goes out to all our brothers in Iran. Last night, two who are left, John and Silas, were arrested for being Christians, beaten and raped by the Revolution Guard. They are in prison and they have suffered further shame and horrors. Please pray for them to be faithful to their Savior in this most wicked trial. Satan is trying to crush the churches, crush the faith. Pray as we may be able to get them set free. We are not yet 100% sure, but they may already be dead. Oftentimes, the government of Iran hauls them to jail and executes them immediately. Paul, our church planner, is devastated. He needs our prayers for strength to endure, wisdom in outreach as he continues to share Jesus Christ with everyone he interacts with. This is a call to spiritual warfare. Pray for our brothers and sisters as if they were from your own local church. Please pray for one of our Afghani church planters, Matthew. The Taliban learned of his activities and came to his home to kill him. He escaped and is on the run. We are in contact with him right now and are sending him to a safe house in Afghanistan. Pray for Solomon, the Tajik KJB detained him today after threats and promises to arrest him if he doesn't leave the capital. He was set free. Solomon teaches for me in our Bible Institute. I got that text, and I want you to hear this. I thought, man, we live easy here in the United States.
Right.
And then my next thought was, this is serious business. I better get to praying right now. I sent it out on our prayer chain to all our church people because they need prayer right now. It's not wait till later.
Right.
Wait till later. A hedge of protection. Number five, pray for this for your missionaries. Pray for lost souls to be converted. Pray, Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel is that they might be saved. The main reason a missionary's gone there is to reach people for Christ. And they've got people they're praying for that they've worked with that they want to see saved. So pray for those people, okay? So that's under big point number two. And let me give you the last main points. Big point number three, communicate to your missionary family often. I know your pastor is encouraging you to do that. And a way to do that in our day, email them, you know? It's fast. It really is. It's fast. You can write to them. But tell them that you're praying for them. And when you send that email off, if you prayed for them and you follow some of the things that I'm saying and you're praying specifically, say, hey, listen, I'm praying for so-and-so to be saved. I'm praying for this upcoming VBS that you're having, just like your church has VBS. I'm praying for this. Man, you have no clue how much that'll uplift them. It really will. To know that those simple things that only take us a minute or two, really a minute or two in our daily life, those simple things, listen, they can just, man, they can encourage and keep somebody on the field. You just, but communicate with them. If we didn't communicate with our own family, how good of a relationship, how long is that family going to stay together? How long are they going to keep going? Sometimes, you know, parents, we got to come along and we got to encourage our kids and talk to them and just keep them up with the things of the Lord, right? I have to encourage my wife. She tries to encourage me. Well, our missionaries need the same thing, but you have to communicate to do that, right? Communicate. And then number four, last big thing, you ready? Go on a missions trip to visit one of your missionaries. Mine eye affecteth my heart. Sometimes it's easy for us to stand back here and to say, well, I'll pray for them. But you know, I bet your prayer life will change for a missionary if you'll go and visit them. And I know not everybody can do that, but I want you to hear something. We spend a lot of money here in the United States on a lot of things. I just want to throw something out to you and challenge you with something. Maybe save your money up and go visit a missionary instead of taking that vacation 1 year. Say, but I need a vacation. Do you?
Amen.
Do we? When does our missionary get a vacation? Say, when they come back on furlough. That's not a vacation. They do as much work, if not more, when they come back on furlough because every church wants them to come by and report to things, and they're traveling and all these type of things. Listen, they don't get a whole lot of rest, and then they go back to the field worn out. But wouldn't it be good if we just stop by? Maybe we find out they're having a VBS and you say, you know what? Not all the church can go, but and you talk to your pastor, hey, pastor, I'd like to go and help them this year. We're planning for this. And you go and help them in their VBS.
Amen.
Something. Just, I mean, plan a missions trip. And if we faithfully support our missionaries financially, that's good. But if we do it prayerfully also, I believe it'll yield more fruit to their account and to yours. And just some practically, I hope this helps this morning.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the time you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.